The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. The next live Sioux Valley Voice will air on Wednesday, August 26th at 10 a.m. You can listen to past episodes online at ktna.org. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna, streaming from KTNA.org and serving the Upper Susitna Valley. My name is Philip Manning, and this is Sioux Valley Voice. My guest this week is Doyle Holmes, candidate for Borough Assembly District 7, which includes the Upper Valley as well as down to Meadow Lakes, Houston, that area as well. We'll be discussing the upcoming election and taking your calls. The number to call if you want to join the conversation is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. Doyle Holmes, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
So to get us started, of course, we had your opponent in here last week, and what we started with him was, why don't you just tell us a little bit about you, your background. I mean, you've served on the assembly before, but you can just tell us a little bit about who you are.
I live in Willow. I've lived there since 1977. I own the Willow True Value Hardware Store with my wife, Debbie. She has the grocery store, so she puts me to work in it most of the time. She decided that she would allow me to run for office again because I talk so much about taxes and regulations and private property rights that she decided that she'd get rid of me this time and allow me to run for office. But I have lived in the Valley for a long, long time. I served on the Assembly for almost 11 years, longest term in the history of the Valley. I think the people up here in the northern end of the Valley like to see me go down and get my hair tore off, but the frontiersmen made a lot of headlines with me. But I have been a controversial figure. I did serve as the deputy mayor of the borough also for 3 years.
Okay.
I am a veteran, Vietnam veteran. I've also still serve in the Alaska State Defense Force, so all total about 40-something years of military service. I guess that's about it.
Okay. And you're currently on the Willow Fire Service Area Board?
Yes, I'm head of the chairman of the Willow Fire Service Area Board. I'm also chairman of the Willow Area Seniors, Inc. down in Willow, which the 12 apartments there. Low-income apartments and also full market rent, but low rent for senior housing.
Okay. All right. So that's a little bit about you. Now, you hinted at it a little bit, but what's prompting your return to borough politics?
I've got some serious concerns about the present assembly, and they don't seem to be in touch with what's going on out here in the, especially the northern end of the valley. They don't examine a lot of the actions that they take. I always tried to make sure that when the assembly took action on something that affected the lives of the people in the valley, that they were aware of what effect that was going to have now and in the future, how much money it was going to cost, all of those things. The decisions that they're making down there now, there's almost no decision, which indicates to me that there's a lot of conversation going on out of the eye of the public. The recent actions by the assembly with the budget session, was really pathetic. They, rather than face up to the fact that the revenue is dropping rapidly and making decisions that they needed to make this year, they put off almost all of those decisions until the next year, hoping that things will get better. And at least they should have actually started making some plans as to how they're going to deal with the shortfall in money. Instead, they actually allowed the school district and the administration to spend almost all of the reserves this year. Mm. They additionally raised fees on almost everything that takes place. I think even high school, young people in high school could have figured out that if they triple the dump fees, that the trash is going to start ending up in the bushes and people are going to be burning it. So now they all voted for it, and now that there's such an outcry over the fees, that they're all running for cover down there.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out.
Well, and that came up last night at last night's meeting, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
they're trying to figure out how they're going to get out of this now that they've got themselves in a situation that it's going to cost some money some way, shape, or form.
Right. That's actually probably going to show up on the KTNA News at some point today.
I believe so, yes. Yep.
So, okay. And you've talked about it in some generalities, but as far as your priorities going in, I mean, it sounds like the budget is a big deal as far as solvency for the borough.
Yes, when I was on the assembly before, I was recognized as the person to go to with the budget matters down there. Helped write that for about 10 years, and there's ways that. That the situation can be addressed rather than the way they're doing it now. The budget itself is people think that that's the law. It's merely a spending plan.
Mm.
And there's an awful lot of extra money hid out within that budget. There's many positions down there that are not filled, but it's up to the manager to spend that money actually any way, shape, or form. Mm. They will allow the manager to spend $25,000 changes to just about anything without any oversight by the assembly. I would hope to change that. I guess even more of a problem is the fact that that can be done time after time after time on the same situation. And that, again, needs to be have oversight by the assembly.
Okay, and can you give specifics? I mean, it sounds like you've seen this happen.
Yes. A lot of that takes place on public works type projects.
Okay.
And there'll be change orders that come in, especially on road projects. The fire service areas, road service areas, many times the boards are not even consulted when those changes are take place.
Mm.
The administration sends out a proposed budget to the fire service, road service areas,
mm-hmm.
and once those are approved, then those boards are never consulted again. And the administration then makes changes to them, presents them to the assembly. If the boards don't catch those changes, Willow Fire Service area last year was about a $200,000 situation.
Well, so. And that's one of the things I was going to when you were talking about that, there was quite a bit of disagreement between specifically yourself and a few others in Willow and Vern Halter, the current representative for District 7, over the Willow Fire Service area and the mill rate and the procedure for how to raise that mill rate and how much to raise it. Ultimately, it did end up going to 2.75.
Yes,
which is what Assemblymember Halter wanted. You know, if you were to get onto the assembly again, is that something you would look at changing? Or there were a lot of folks advocating for a vote in Willow, which it sounds like is how it's been done before.
Yes.
So is that would you want to then put that to a vote?
I If we're going to increase it, yes. Decreasing it is going to be up to the fire service area board itself and the assembly person that represents the fire service area down there. When in 2012, there's a small group of people that supports the fire department, and I'm proud of that fact, but they don't really understand the budget itself and the finances and how it works. And during that period of time, they kept pushing for a higher mill rate, but the board kept asking, well, what do you need that we're not providing now? And they could never come up with an answer. It was just, we want more money. And so, okay, fine. We decided to put it on the ballot in 2012. Again, my recommendation was if you're not going to be able to tell the public what you want that money for, then they're not going to vote for it. And it went down in flames to about 75 to 25.
Okay.
So the same situation, same group came back to the fire service board last year, started pressing for us to put it on the ballot. And the board, we actually asked the same questions. What do you want the money for? And nobody could ever come up with a list. So we said, okay, fine, we'll ask the assembly to put it on the ballot.
Hmm.
I felt that the same thing was going to happen, that it would be defeated. But in any case...
But it didn't go to the ballot.
It didn't go to the ballot. My opponent came to the meetings, and he kept pressing for this more money, but again, no reason, no valid reason to have that money go into the projects that whatever they thought they were going to do. So eventually, I've been stating all along that our representative, Mr. Halter, and my opponent, that they were kind of grooming that small group of people as part of a future campaign. And I've started saying that back in January and February. My opponent actually filed his letter of intent last November.
Right.
And when I announced that if it takes me running for office to stop this this tax raise, then that's what I'll do. And immediately he filed his letter of intent. So that basically is what it's turned out to be, that I just feel that they thought they were going to be able to impress all of the voters in the Willow area by helping out the fire department, and I think it's backfired. When that mill rate was proposed without a vote of the people, there was 275 people signed a petition asking our assembly person not to do that.
Mm.
And it was about 10, 15, maybe one time close to 20 people from that small group of supporters of the fire department testified before the assembly.
Right. I remember the budget meeting in Willow specifically.
And so that should tell the representative from a specific area that the will of the people should be observed.
Well, and the other group had a petition circulating as well. I don't remember the numbers on that. And the way that ended up shaking out, there was this big discussion. It involved the new building. At least part of the plan that Assemblymember Halter was talking about was the new Nancy Lake building.
Yes.
And a plan to pay that off. And it did eventually go through. And now, what was interesting is there was all this discussion and, okay, is the equipment too old? Because that was a discussion that ended up happening at those meetings. And then, of course, 2 months later, we had the Sockeye fire.
Yes.
And, of course, the Willow Fire Department was heavily, heavily involved in that. What's been the atmosphere at the Fire Service Area Board since then? So, over the past couple of months.
Basically the same thing. Finally, at my insistence, the fire chief came up with a proposal, and what it amounts to for that mill rate increase of around $450,000, $500,000, they're asking for a new fire truck every 2 years for the next 10 years. Looking back at Anchorage, talking to some of the people in there, they don't retire their firefighting equipment until their actual maintenance people say that it's beyond maintenance. And rather, they just don't replace fire trucks willy-nilly, you know, just because they've got the money. And so that seems to be what's going on. That building that was bought down there was quite a controversy. We had a $600,000 grant from the legislature to build a warm storage building there. Mm-hmm. Mr. Halter actually pushed through a $200,000 loan to buy that building. The board wanted to take that $200,000 out of that $600,000 grant. The loan is going to have to be repaid by taxpayers' money. The $600,000 was more than enough money to build a warm storage building. We built one this last year at Crystal Lake for just a little bit under $350,000.
Okay, and is that inclusive of the purchase of the property as well?
Well, the property there was Matsu Borough property. So there was no cost. The land, there was no government land available in that particular area. There were other parcels of land that could have been purchased for a lot less money. But anyway, it got pressed through by Mr. Halter without any discussion. And the loan was approved. I'm planning on being the next borough assemblyman, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to reverse that and get to reimburse the fire service area out of that loan, or out of the grant from the legislature. You can't get any answers out of the Emergency Services Department. If we've got one building that we're building for $350,000, why didn't they want to buy that land out of that grant? If we have $600,000, if that money is not spent, then it's going to go back to the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to happen. There's going to be about $200,000 left over.
Okay. Well, if you want to join in on our conversation, my guest today is Doyle Holmes, candidate for Matsu Borough Assembly District 7. You can give us a call, 733-1200, or send an email to dj@ktna.org. We've taken up the first quarter hour largely talking about the fire department in Willow and the fire service area. But
it's fairly contentious exactly. issue down there, no doubt about it.
Exactly.
And I believe the voters are going to take corrective action down there in October.
Okay. And so let's shift gears and talk about the borough, also still dealing with the borough budget. But, you know, lately there's been some effort, especially by Assemblymember Sykes, but also I think Assemblymember Beck, to try to diversify the revenue stream a little bit, find other means other than property taxes to raise money for the borough. Is that something you're interested in? And are there any methods that you prefer, if so?
Well, the assembly, I get in trouble down there because I'm not constantly running for office down there, okay? And most of the decision seems to be anymore with an eye towards either a higher office or getting reelected.
You have run for the state legislature, though.
Yes, I did. And my friends in higher places didn't want me down there for that same reason, because I... expose a lot of this stuff that's going on, and people in politics don't like that. A lot of these exemptions that have been approved are, you know, fairly favored by a lot of people out there, but it does increase the taxes on the people that are left.
You know, like seniors exemptions and veterans.
Right. I happen to support the senior exemption, mainly because I am one. No, not really. I've actually spoken on that subject many times at the assembly table when it comes up. It's a mandate from the legislature without any funding. My comment on it is fairly simply that after a person pays taxes for 40, 50, 60 years, then at some point in the game, they probably need to have some kind of relief. And I don't know how much actually tax money you've put out, and you're not that old.
Not that
but,
old.
when you get to be 60 years old, you've probably put $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 out there or more,
right,
in property taxes.
Well, and you know, going forward, there's going to be a situation where it's, you know, state revenue sharing is already drying up or dried up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be, and there's a discussion at the state level about education funding, things like that. Is the answer for the borough at this point in those changing fiscal times, is it to do it through increased revenue through property taxes, find another revenue stream, sales taxes, user fees, stuff like that, or cuts? Or a combination?
When you say cuts, I think we're probably going to have to reevaluate and reorganize the government.
Okay.
That's going to be the only solution. I don't see anybody taking a pay cut. So I think we're going to have to take a look at how we actually approach government itself. Every time that when I was on the assembly, any time that a new regulation came about,
mm-hmm.
I always pointed out that, okay, you want to regulate this particular issue. When you vote this new regulation into effect, it's going to require another person, another office, mm-hmm. More expenses to enforce it. Do you really want to do this? So I try to always look in what's the future effect going to be.
Okay.
When we build a lot of these projects without analyzing that, we get in trouble every time. And so we're going to have to probably reorganize some of the areas that that don't have to do with the basic health. We don't do much in the police area.
No.
Roads and the fire service and schools. We're going to have to take a look at cutting back down to just that.
Okay. So kind of getting, and so when you say reorganize, you mean like the actual system, like the organizational charts and like who mm-hmm. reports to who and how many people
right.
are needed and
how
that
many
sort
people
of...
are needed. What generally happens is rather than like DOT itself, a good 70% of the people in DOT are not out on the highways working on them. They're in offices someplace doing paperwork, planning. That's upside down. If you're in a business person like me, you cannot do that. You can't have 7 out of 10 of your people hit out some office someplace. You can't do that.
Okay.
So I know that the government will never be like business, but they need to be more like business. And when I left there, quite a few years ago, there was 157 positions at the borough. It's my understanding now there's close to 400. So the population has probably almost doubled,
mm-hmm.
but three times that for the government workers, I don't think is probably something that should have taken place.
All right. Well, if you want to join our conversation with Doyle Holmes, candidate for Mat-Su Borough Assembly, give us a call, 733-1200. While we're talking about things that are costing the borough money, we'll discuss the everyone's favorite boat for a moment, and that, of course, is the MV Susitna. You're shaking your head, and that's not an uncommon response when I bring this up. You know, obviously, this is one of those things that... came through the federal government and was a free ferry boat that has ended up costing borough taxpayers a lot of money and is at this point sitting in Ward Cove and is now broken. So if you were to be on the get on the assembly, what would you do with it?
At this point in the game, it's gone some way, shape, or form. That's kind of you have to look at politics in general. The political cycle in the borough goes up and down about every 5 or 6 years. And when the ferry was actually proposed, thank goodness I wasn't there, but in any case, I can't get blamed for this one. It looked like a good thing. When that group on the assembly and the administration got changed to the new group, that was a little bit... more opposed to any kind of economic development, then that decision was made to stop any further work on that. If I would have been on the assembly at that time, I probably would have voted to at least give it a try and see if it could actually work.
Well, I know one of the issues was agreement with the municipality of Anchorage on where to park the thing at that end and building a facility there as well. I know there was some disagreement on that as well.
Probably going to get in trouble here sooner or later, but that's okay. I think at the time, my proposal would have been, okay, crank it up, let's get it going. If Anchorage doesn't want to have us, then let's see what we could do about going to Kenai.
Okay.
If Anchorage and the borough would have actually taken a look at it and made it, see if it would operate,
mm-hmm.
It would have cost a lot of money on the other side probably to build that landing. But in any case, if Anchorage was opposed to it, they were going to lose the tourism money. The borough, Matsu Borough, would be taking visitors right around Anchorage all the way to the Kenai. Give it a shot and see what would happen.
Okay.
So I'm kind of an optimist. I like to try things, but at some point in the game, I'm also astute enough to know that it's time to dump this thing.
Right. It seems to be a pretty common sentiment at this point is one way or the other, get rid of the thing. But you're saying at some point in the past, you believe that it might have been feasible.
I think it could have. It would have worked. I really do. There wasn't enough room on it for a lot of cars.
Right.
But the population of the borough is moving down Kinnick Road and towards
KGB.
Yep, and out towards Point McKenzie. So I think that there would have been a demand for it. Whether it would have paid for itself, it would have been a marginal. There's no doubt about it. My wife and I discuss a lot of these issues in a little different vein. We will discuss whether or not to add a product to our inventory.
Okay.
And it'll come in and it doesn't sell. Whichever one of us promoted it takes the headache from that. But at that point, then we mark it down and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't sell it, then we donate it. If nobody wants it, we'll take it to the dump. And I think we're probably at that point. The boat is
and then
history.
There is also the complicating factor of the FTA loans in there as well, the $12 million in federal money that the borough is currently trying to get. They're trying to talk that down a little bit, but some of it did get spent. I mean, some of it was refitting the boat itself and then building the facility down there at Point McKenzie. And at least the current administration has said that, you know, at least they got a good building out of it down there at Point McKenzie.
Well, I was in the Navy for 22 years and went all the way through the enlisted ranks into the officer ranks. And I was on I was an officer of the deck on the USS Enterprise, not the Starship, the aircraft carrier. Yeah, and so I kind of would have liked to have at least driven it once. But,
well, that's fair enough. It looks really cool. And I hear it's pretty quick. So, well, we are just about to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break here. My guest is Doyle Holmes, candidate for Matsu Borough Assembly District 7, which is the entire KTNA listening area plus some, basically. If you want to join us in the second half hour, give us a call 733-1200 or send us an email dj@ktna.org. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you. And welcome back to the second half hour of Sioux Valley Voice. I'm your host, Philip Manning. My guest today is Doyle Holmes, candidate for Matsu Borough Assembly District 7. We do have the phone line open at 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. Now, we've talked about the ferry, but there are other projects going on right now, specifically dealing with Point McKenzie. There's the rail spur, there's discussion of a Kinnick Arm crossing the bridge, and the current assembly largely is of the belief, as well as our Juneau delegation, is of the belief that those projects would lead to a great deal of economic development in the borough. Are you of that opinion?
To a certain extent, but also when the borough assembly made the decision to move forward with the port, we spent an awful lot of time discussing what that effect would be on that particular area.
Right.
And we knew that if the bridge came about, or even the port, which it has expanded quite a bit since back in the 90s, we're going to need roads, we're going to need schools, all of those amenities there. And we knew that by pressing forward with that, we would have to figure out some way, shape, or form to fund that. So I think at the time there was 6,000 acres of land set aside mm-hmm. for industrial development down there at the port. And hopefully that was going to be the solution to bring property taxes online that would offset those things. The present assembly doesn't seem to be interested in the future. They just, I think that's part of my campaign right now. The little cards that I have says Road to the Future.
Mm.
And they're not really taking a look at what that's going to cost. It's going to bring more people into the Matsu Borough. There's no doubt about it. When you look at the support for it, and our area, the District 7, is so large that it's very difficult to gauge the mood of any particular area.
Sure.
It's very difficult to do. The further you get away up towards Trapper Creek and here, then I would say that the mood is probably opposed to it. Like, same thing with the dam. When you get to the south end of the District 7 and back into Wasilla and Palmer, then the people there are more interested in getting those developments to take place. I think to a certain extent Anchorage is also. Anchorage is just about out of usable land. So back then, I guess one of the recommendations I made, if you want this thing developed, then quit trying to tie it up. And just give it to Anchorage.
Hmm. Well, and at this point, though, with the current administration in Anchorage, Mayor Berkowitz doesn't seem terribly interested in pursuing it.
He must not have bought any land over there for future development.
On Government Hill.
Yeah, back then when the dam, I mean, not the dam, the bridge looked like it was going to be built, a lot of the people in Anchorage actually purchased land down around Point McKenzie.
Sure.
So I kind of jokingly said that, but yeah.
Well, the borough actually has a very nice property mapping system now, where you can actually go in and see who owns each individual parcel down there or anywhere in the borough.
Right. Yep. We when I was on assembly back then, we actually voted the money to start that GIS system. It's progressed to the point now where people actually can find out what's going on.
Mm. Oh, looks like we've got an email here. Let's see if we've got a question. The Sioux Dam. So since we're talking about big projects, your opinion on, I mean, at this point, the funding is kind of stalled out at the state level, but the project is definitely not dead at this point. Do you think that that's something the state should continue to pursue?
Probably not. When I used to be the representative for Talkeetna at budget time, always a threat to cut down on the number of employees at the school district. And one of the things that I always told the people here was don't worry about it. It's just a political maneuver to try to get the school budget passed. The same thing with the dam. I don't think it'll ever get built. The amount of money that it's going to cost to do that is just not available. I don't even think it would be available with the money that was coming in before last year. One of the things that I found out with my experience on the assembly, when I first went on the assembly, I couldn't figure out why things didn't get done. And eventually I found, I don't think a lot of our elected officials have still came to the realization that as long as the planners, and I'm not against planning to a certain point, but as long as the planners are planning, then no construction is ever going to take place. And they usually end up spending all the money doing that. And I think that's what's going on with the dam at the present time. It's a very controversial issue. There's a lot of money being spent, but nobody's digging any dirt up there, and I don't think they ever will.
Right.
We did it back in the 80s, spent $140, $150 million, and nothing really ever got done.
Right.
And so I think that's where it's going. I would actually, the people that are opposed to the dam and the people that are for it, I just think that it's a political issue. It's a way of spending money. It's probably a waste of money. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Okay. Well, and right now, like you said, the state money has been cut off this year. I get the governor did just open up the $6 million in unencumbered that they still had left over. But when I talked with them down at AEA, it sounded like they were just trying to wrap up whatever studies they could at this point and prepare for the project to potentially get put on the shelf again for maybe another 30 years. Who knows?
I travel a lot, and I know that energy is a major issue. And California, not that I'm really in love with California itself, but California has went to the windmill type operations. A lot of solar is taking place down there. I think that's where we're headed. California has actually went to some of the smaller streams and put up smaller dams where it didn't affect the fishing. And if you travel, I travel a lot down in that area, and I've actually seen a lot of those small dams. Those things work. And if the grid is developed to the point where those dams can put power into it efficiently, then they will work. I know that's probably another issue that I'll get in trouble for, but we're going to have to do something that doesn't cost so much money.
Right. Well, and speaking about energy, actually, one more time, my guest is Doyle Holmes, candidate for Matsu Borough Assembly. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 733-1200. While we're talking about energy, right now, the governor's big priority is the gas line. It's what he ran on, and there seems to be, you know, there's a large level of support around the state. As far as the borough goes, what do you see as the borough's role in, you know, if and when the gas line gets built? It is going to go through, it's going to go right through Trap Creek.
Coming through Willow, too.
Yeah, and Willow. And so what does the borough stand to gain as far as that goes? I mean, obviously, I'm not going to ask you whether or not we're going to get an offtake here, because that's not a question you're likely to be able to answer. But as far as, you know, property taxes on the pipeline itself, that sort of thing, what
right,
is the
property
borough's
taxes
role?
Is about the only benefit that we're going to have other than low gas prices. I think there will be an outtake to the areas where that pipeline goes through. When the borough got into the gas LID business back in the 80s and 90s, those areas were usually on propane or on oil, and their heating bills dropped significantly.
LID is a limited improvement district.
Right. And that's kind of the approach that I like to see government down at the local level. And when those subdivisions got enough people in that subdivision to ask the borough to finance that, then the gas came in. We the gas actually went as far north as Houston High School. We couldn't, the economics of it just didn't work out. The borough actually had to put some money into that, a couple $100,000 to get the gas company to extend the gas line up to Houston High. When you go north of that, into these, you know, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, mm-hmm. Willow, it's just not effective to do it. You just can't do it. You can't put 2 mile pipeline out to one house. It's not going to work.
Right. Just not, yeah. Typically not cost effective.
So I think the gas line will be built. I would hope that they give it up as far as, well, we're right back in that conversation again. As long as they're planning, they're not digging. And so the big concern I would have as the representative for this particular area where it's really going to be impacted,
right,
is to make sure that if that gas line is buried, that it is covered over and replanted. If it's in an area where it's above ground, that there would be crossings for animals, for mm-hmm. the dog mushers, people that are going during the recreation type right. stuff, so that they would have, it wouldn't be blocked.
Right.
So traditional access to me is important. Private property rights is one of my main things that I'm concerned about. Mm. And I just don't visualize the borough ever taking property for anything.
Right.
We did have a voluntary program one time, some of the flood stuff. People would actually ask us to condemn the property, and we would. But under no circumstances should the borough ever be involved in that kind of activity. So the gas line producers are going to have to negotiate with private property owners.
But it looks like for the vast majority of the property, not so much. There is some private land in the part of the Upper Valley they run through, mm-hmm. but it looks like the vast majority is publicly owned already.
Right, and through Willow and some of the native lands. They're going to have to negotiate with the native lands. Also, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the port itself, and that port is going to be Point McKenzie.
Oh, Point McKenzie.
Yeah, the pipe for that is going to have to be stored. It's going to have to be shipped. And I visualize that coming into that Point McKenzie and that rail.
I would say you would need the rail spur in order to do that.
Right. I can't visualize all of that pipe coming through Anchorage like it used to in Wasilla. It's not going to happen. Transporting it up the highway, I know this area would not be real thrilled about that at all.
Probably not.
Especially Trapper Creek.
right. Well, you know, you've made reference to this, but I want to bring it back up. You know, if you do get elected, you'd represent a very large district in the borough, by far the largest, but all the way up near Cantwell, down to Meadow Lakes. And, you know, you said it's difficult to get a gauge of, okay, well, the people in Talkeetna, Trapper Creek think this, people in Houston think this, people in Willow or somewhere in between. How do you reconcile that breadth of opinions from your constituents?
I try not to put my personal wants and opinion into those things. One time, Mayor Locker, I went down with six. I presented six different opinions on something down there one night. She says, "Are there any other positions you'd like to talk to us about?" I said, "No." She says, "Are you for all of those things?" I said, "I don't see how I could vote for but one of those." And I said that my job is basically to bring to the assembly what people are telling me and asking me to bring to the assembly. And I may not vote for any of them, but that's what I feel is my main job, is to try to get the mood of the area. The experiences that I've had, I know Talkeetna has changed quite a bit, but I still think that I understand a lot of the opinions up here. I'm pretty conservative all the way around, but you have to you're going to get calls. You're going to get nowadays emails, Facebook. You're going to get a lot of comments from that now where we didn't have that in the old days.
Where there's, yeah, there's a lot more instant feedback.
Right. So I depend on people that I've known a long, long time. I feel out what they think. Try to see, is it something that they're trying to push their own, for their own personal need? Or are they really interested in the effect on the entire community? The Chamber of Commerce, the community councils, fire boards, road boards, those people are out there every day talking to people. And so you can't discount any one of those. You have to take them into consideration. But one thing that I will not do is make decisions down in Palmer that affects this area without notifying the community, trying to get some feedback as to how that's going to affect their lives up here. I'm not sure that's taking place now. So it's very important that the representative get feedback from the community itself.
Okay. We've got 15 minutes left in the hour. If you want to join the conversation, my guest is Doyle Holmes, candidate for Mattsu Borough Assembly District 7. The number to call is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. I'll go ahead and refresh that email now to make sure no more came in. So as we're, you know, sorry, I lost my train of thought momentarily there, but you know, representing a large district can be tricky. And, you know, as of right now, I mean, obviously, if you were elected, you'd have to, I don't know when your term on the Willow Fire Service Board expires, but that would obviously...
Right, I'd have to resign.
Right.
Yeah.
And so in the meantime, going forward, like, what are the plans between now and October as far as that board goes? I mean, have you been able to attend the meetings while you're campaigning? Is it...
Kind of laughing. I missed the last two board meetings, and the feedback that I got was, for all the years that I've been on that thing now, probably around 10 years or so, and I might add that through my work on it, we did have $500,000 in the bank,
right,
until my opponent and Mr. Halter got involved, and they've just about broke us now. But the same small group they always show up, they always badmouth me continuously throughout the meetings, and that's okay. I'm a big boy. And so all of that time that they were there picking on me, which is fine, now that I've missed two meetings, now they're picking on me because I'm not there, and I can't figure that out for sure.
Well, that's what, you know, I did get some correspondence, and I wanted to get, and I know that criticism is happening. I wanted to give you an opportunity to answer it.
I'm kind of laughing about it. It's, they can't have everything, and it seems that they want that. But so I'm fine, I guess. There will be a stake probably out there that'll hopefully they won't burn me at that. But like I said, I am a controversial person, and I like to say things that are not political, and it gets me in trouble a lot. But most of the people that I talk to respect that. And if they turn out to be a hateful type situation, then fine, I respect that. I don't hold grudges on people. I respect their opinion. And I think that's the major thing that a representative has to do.
How do you see being able to reconcile what you describe, you know, pretty forthright, blunt nature with being able to compromise in the current assembly environment?
Yes. That's the name of the game. If you don't, I learned that lesson early on. They'll smack you upside the head and make a believer out of you. But you still can't compromise your basic principles. And I have a lot of those principles over the years, developed all the years I was in the military and on the assembly. So you do have to compromise from time to time, as long as it doesn't violate your basic principles.
So, I mean, we're in a period right now, just to talk about the future. If you were to be elected, it's a 3-year term, and the borough is definitely in a period of rapid growth at this point. Like you said, quite a bit out, you know, KGB way, but also a fair bit up here. Talkeetna, mm-hmm. Talkeetna's seen large growth. Willow's seen some growth. How does District 7 and how does the borough adapt and move with that growth into the future, the population growth?
The areas that, when you put a lot of people together in one close environment, then you've got problems. And that's addressed over the years in history of the United States. They form cities. And the borough is a little bit different situation. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of areas that are not developed. And the people in those areas don't want development. And that's fine. I'll do everything to help them with that. But when you get a group of people together, the two areas that are prime for that would be Big Lake. They're getting ready to vote whether they're going to be a city or not.
Exactly. They're going through that process.
Talkeetna has always resisted that. A lot of the problems can be taken care of by a city government. But it's going to take money, and it's going to be taxes.
Right.
And so you've got that opposition. So when you're talking about the problems, water and sewer, different traffic problems in Talkeetna, the borough is, 90 miles away.
Mm.
They're not going to come up here very often, and they're not going to get involved in it. But I have, and for 11 years, and I will continue to do that and try to help solve those problems. I was involved in a lot of the problem solving up here in those years. The new school addition, paving downtown, the water and sewer system, the library. I've been involved with Big Lake Library, funding for that. Talkeetna, the old library mm-hmm. here. Trapper Creek Library. The Willow Library addition down there. Mm. So I'm a firm believer in that, in the education system and our libraries for sure.
You know, and kind of related to that, and you brought it up a little bit, it was specific to Talkeetna with water and sewer and mm-hmm. traffic issues, is infrastructure as a whole in the borough. And it's, we're seeing a bit of strain up here. We're seeing a lot of strain, down, especially as far as the state highways go, down in the Palmer area, down Palmer Wasilla, as people are commuting in and out of Anchorage, a lot of traffic, a lot of accidents. Mm-hmm. There was a pretty bad accident yesterday at the Big Lake turnoff, involved a couple of folks that live up here. How does the borough go about fixing that? Because it's state roads, so there's only so much the borough can do. But I mean, mm-hmm. is the pressure there? Is the Kinnick Bridge the solution?
It's failure to plan ahead far enough. The state continues to build out-of-date highways. By the time they get it planned, it's a serial operation,
mm-hmm.
10, 12 years to get it built. We approved the road from where the hospital is now over to the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. We approved that clear back in the 90s, and it took 11 years to actually finally get that thing built. So they're building out-of-date highways when they come online. And a good example is the area between the Big Lake Turn and Wasilla.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been four-laned a long time ago. And so there's a lot of traffic problems there.
Right.
Same thing on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. The solution then, my solution was, we only had a little bit of money. Four-lane the thing out of Wasilla, four-lane it out of Palmer.
Hmm.
And when we ran out of money, fine, next year we'll four-lane some more of it. Hmm. But the powers to be decided that more red lights and turnout pockets and all of those things was going to save everybody's life. Well, we've probably killed 15 or 20 people over those years since that decision was made. So they're just not planning ahead like they should. Will the bridge save a lot of that? There's a lot of opposition to the bridge, but if you actually analyzed how much money we're spending on the Glen Highway, I think that you'll find that it's probably going to solve a lot of that.
Well, the discussion often seems to be, do you build the bridge? Do you widen the Glen Highway? Do you do both? Do you do neither? How does it, yeah. Is there money to do either?
Well, they don't have much of a choice now.
Right.
If you've driven that much in the mornings or in the evenings, and Wasilla is a nightmare. I am shocked at the amount of cars that are in there right now. It's unbelievable. So a bypass that we talked about 20 years ago probably would have solved that had that have been built. But you just can't get people to make decisions. And,
all right. Well, we've got a few minutes left. I want to give you an opportunity I don't know if you've got a campaign website. I know you've got a campaign Facebook account.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But how people can get a hold of you if they've got additional questions or want to talk about issues with you.
Cell phone. 373-8527.
Okay.
And got lots of signs out there.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the water and sewer system up here.
Okay. We got a couple minutes.
Right. I was involved in that back in the 80s, and they had spent $6 million studying it. And I made the motion to cut off the funding until they had never put a shovel in the ground. We built the system. I'll take the abuse for that. But you have to take a look at the situation back then. There are quarter-acre lots in Talkeetna. It was basically the property was worthless because you couldn't put a water and a sewer system on the same lot. And it was nowhere near developed then like it is now. And they were contaminating each other's wells. There was arsenic in it. So the DEC people was about to shut Talkeetna down. So we had to do something. We put the water and sewer system in. Roberta Sheldon was actually the secretary for that to keep track of us, mm-hmm. make sure we didn't screw up her favorite runway and and you know do dastardly things to Talkeetna. We did put a system in, and it's worked kind of well over the years. The initial idea was to put that drainage system, the lagoons and mm-hmm. things, between the runway and the river. Mm-hmm. That was one of the wildest ideas I'd ever heard in my life. So anyway, that system worked pretty well for the number of people that was in that system. It's worked, 27 years now. It's old, and it was never meant to be used the way it's being used now. So there's all kinds of people's solutions to it. My idea would be to get the system needs to be upgraded. Mm. It's out of date. It needs to be upgraded. There's a lot of people with different solutions, and this serial conversation stuff, it never gets done. My idea is to get them all in the room, all the players in the room at the same time. I'd like to keep them in there until they come out with a solution, but that's not going to happen in today's society anyway. But I think there is a solution out there, and I think it can be accomplished. We worked it out in the 80s. I think we can work it out now. It's going to take some money. One of the surveys that I had to fill out was from the Mat-Su Visitors Association. One of the questions they wanted to know is if the bed tax money could be that there's talk about spending bed tax money on other things mm-hmm. to offset the revenue shortages. And I said I was opposed to that. Then I also checked that I was for it. And the note that I put was that the bed tax money from a fair share of that comes from Talkeetna.
Up here, yeah.
And I said, I will try to convince you to get on board to help spend some of that bed tax money to provide a solution to the water and sewer system.
All right.
When I become your representative, we're going to get it solved, okay?
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for today on Sioux Valley Voice. My guest has been Doyle Holmes, candidate for Mat-Su Borough Assembly District 7. If you want to listen again, the show will rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tonight, or you can listen online anytime, ktna.org.